is no place to escape to.
This is the last podcast
on the left.
Side stories.
Love your glaze.
That's when the cannibalism started.
Side stories. Yes.
So I just want to take this episode, the beginning of Side Stories this week,
wow,
to maybe just say, if you heard me on this week's SiriusXM episode,
sure,
about Tales of the Reptilian.
Absolutely.
I was coming in a bit hot about the death of the queen.
I feel like you were coming in. You're a Polish man from Queens. You're allowed to have your opinion. Certainly look at the people that she colonized and ruled over.
I hate her. I'm glad she's dead.
There you go.
But I'm still also saying that I still know she's just some 96-year-old bag that technically
sure
belonged to other people, and they're sad, personally. But also, I get it. If you can't make fun of the queen, though.
No, you can't.
If you can't make fun of the queen, then you can literally make fun of no one.
Absolutely not. And if you are sad that the queen is dead, don't forget, she hated you.
She hated you.
She had actual disdain, yes, for you as a person. So dry those tears up. Don't worry. Direct all of your affection towards King Charles, yes, III, because
don't you even
he
say
needs
the name
it to grow his fingers back.
I thought you said that we're not calling him king. We're calling him Chucky Sausage Fingers. And I looked those sausage fingers up. Do yourself a favor and just type in Prince Charles Sausage Fingers.
Oh, yeah.
Because I didn't see this before. I didn't know anything about the stupid fucking royals. Why
weird
would I?
He was called the Pampered Prince. Did you know that he didn't put his own toothpaste on his toothbrush? Isn't that crazy?
We need to continue this episode because I'm literally going to get us all. We're going to be taking off all of the all of the feeds if I talk about
my real
feelings about kings.
What's the name of the gal that he's with now? Kamala? Camila? Camille?
What?
One of the ladies.
Oh, yeah.
With.
We talked about Camilla.
Camilla.
And we talked about how he used to write like love letters. Because again, British people love each other weird. They get like hypersexual in a way that I don't understand. But someone will be like, oh, dear, how I wish I could sit upon your bottom.
Ooh.
I want my bottom to be on your bottom. I want
nice
to hear your little thoughts, your juicy little thoughts.
Double
very
bottom
weird. But when he wrote love letters to Camilla, Prince Charles,
yes,
it was all like, oh, how I wish I was a tampon. I wish I could slide myself up inside of you.
Just like, ugh. And his fingers kind of look like little tampons. All right, everyone, welcome to Side Stories. Ben Gissel here hanging out with Henry Zebrowski.
Oh, yeah.
Hope everyone had a fun weekend. I know your weekend wasn't nearly as much fun as people had in Virginia at a country club who had a 9/11 themed menu.
Oh, well,
but, you know, that's okay. We can't all have fun all the time.
Okay. We talked a little bit about this on the road, right? So, first of all, thank you to everybody who came out this weekend. We had such a good weekend
so
of shows. It was really fun. But, you know, doing shows at 9/11, it's got a new feel now.
Especially flying on 9/11 when you have a 12-hour flight and you're like, wow, this is so exciting and fun.
I will say, wasn't screamed at once. I was really expected to be barked at more because people get, especially during 9/11 times, people like, you know, how many times you just get your moisturizer thrown out for some reason.
It's right? An emotional day.
But it was nice. Everyone was very happy. But what we were talking about was when does 9/11 become a barbecue day?
Well, I actually thought around 20 year it would be. I don't know why it's not a national holiday already. They should give us the day off. I mean, obviously this one fell on Sunday.
Well, no, but the Emmys took off.
The Emmys did not take off for 9/11. The Emmys took off because it was the first weekend of NFL football. And NFL football had like 100 million viewers, and the Emmys had 6 million. So they just were like, how do we make an excuse? Because we can't compete with actual athletic
9/11,
people who work hard.
Even though 9/11. Half of Hollywood is fueled by Saudi, it's all money. It's all oil money. It's all
it's
money
all
from the Middle East.
Money.
It's just filtered into all the movies. Congrats, everybody. You love
nice
it. But some people still have gone too far. Because still,
yes,
it's a somber day. Right,
it's a somber day. It's a day of remembrance. Absolutely,
of course. We're not ready fully yet. I'm just saying it'd be nice to maybe add some levity. But one country club, and I think that's really what it is that it was a country club.
And also, this was in Manassas. Oh, Manassas.
Oh, Manassas,
Virginia, right by Washington D.C. So you would think perhaps someone that went to this country club was there on 9/11. And if you are there on 9/11, to be honest, you can do whatever you want.
I think so. These are all people that made a lot of money in the stocks during 9/11.
Absolutely.
You know? So this place called the Clubhouse Restaurant in Aqua Harbor, Stafford, Virginia. Now, they had this thing. It was called Patriots Day 2022. That's how they changed it. That's
right.
The rebranding of 9/11, right?
Sure.
And what I love, I'll take a little bit of this menu. Now, people are getting upset because they felt that the menu was crass. But a lot of these are actually very, there's very clever wording here.
I
like the 9/11 oysters.
The 9/11 oysters?
Which is, I feel, again, you could have packaged it. Maybe it's because you get 9 to 11 oysters. You don't know how many you're going to get.
Right. I think 9/11 oysters are probably the worst ones. There's the Never Forget sampler, which I think is fantastic. And the 2977 chowder.
Well, that's what you get. You get 2 cups of 2977 chowder, which is kind of sad because didn't all the people become chowder?
Well,
and I think
ways.
It's inappropriate and it's terrible to even think about it like that.
Absolutely.
The Flight 93 redirect crab dip.
Well, all right.
It's a mouthful.
But I will
That's a
say,
lot of the words to put. It's like when you have to go to, remember we have you back in the day when you go to Denny's.
Back in the day, back like yesterday, yes.
You should, is that why your tummy hurts?
No, I haven't had Denny's in a long, long time.
But the moon's over my hammy. Right, you have to ask for that. They would do that. You'd go to Denny's
what?
when Moons Over Miami first came. No, I'm not trying to scare you.
Okay,
but when you used to first go to Denny's, I remember the waitress being like, "I want the hammy," and she'd go, "What?
Is it the Moons Over Miami?"
Yeah, and then you had
but
to say
you
the
do
whole
have
words.
To say the whole thing. Otherwise, you want the hammy. Okay, what does that even mean? You want me to punch you in the back of the head? What does that mean?
I don't know. And you remember how IHOP did the whole Rudy Tooty fresh and fruity.
Better ask for a Rudy Tooty. And fruity.
You see how difficult it is.
It is difficult, especially when you're absolutely hammered off of pure and utter sugar.
And is this not even more difficult to say the first responder shrimp flatbread?
Well, then
which
you
is
don't
also,
get it.
That's what's strange is that also weird. Shrimp flatbread, I dislike. Just in that concept
like
of shrimp flatbread does not mean anything to me. That's not,
no.
That's not a good meal. But it's the idea of like, just thinking of EMTs covered in that toxic 9/11 soot, and the first thing that they want to get is a piece of crispy, not even pizza dough,
right.
Just shit-ass flatbread,
mm-hmm.
with just a bunch of curled-ass ocean bugs. I love shrimp on it, but for our EMTs, for our first responders?
I don't like it whatsoever. Of course, when it comes to shrimp, that is what I ate. I ate spicy shrimp. And that is what hurt my stomach. So be very careful with your shellfish. Occasionally, there'll be something in it and gives you a little tummy ache. But I will say this. The amount of rage addressed at this country club, again, full of working class people who are helping very rich aristocrats eat a bunch of shitty food. It's not as bad as like us just still sucking the teat of Saudi Arabia every
day.
No,
of course not.
So I like, all
in
right.
In the grand spectrum of war crimes, yes. That it's none of this is that bad. But I will say, I feel that this more off-brand is that they have the Never Forget sampler, but they also have the Remember Teeny. And
it should be flipped.
Yes.
Because you want to remember that sampler.
Teeny. Yeah, you want to remember. I remember this sampler. I remember this sampler.
Absolutely.
I forget where I was when I was drinking all these Remember Teenies.
Absolutely. So according to clubhouse manager George White, he issued what he's calling a mea culpa on Facebook.
Oh, it is. Oh, it's a mea culpa.
It's a mea culpa.
I apologize. Okay, let me just go on a limb here. I apologize for those I offended with the 9/11 Seafood Sunday post. My intention was to bring attention to that horrific day 21 years ago. So to honor those who lost as so much as well as those who gave everything a day, we're going to have a new theme tomorrow. And then he turned it into Seafood Sunday, where it says here, are you ready for some football? And they changed it to the field goal flatbread, silver shrimp on it, the hot defense dip. Which just sounds
like
shit.
I love a good
hot
defense.
It just sounds like shit you smear over a vagina as conception material,
oh,
right?
Oh my goodness.
Then the fumble flounder.
Oh, that's what I want, a flounder that was on the ground.
Oh, yeah. And then touchdown teeny, which is,
there you go.
You know, again, thank God they fixed it.
He was just trying to be creative with it. And again, it's not nearly as bad. People are more upset with that than they are 9/11. So let's give the guy a break, shall we?
I mean, I don't want to get, I like dragging him as hard as humanly possible, but still, again, you should have had those 9/11 oysters while they were available.
I agree with
that.
Because
you don't believe it. It's amazing because sometimes it's 9, sometimes it's 10.
Well, it reminds me of many years ago when we were doing the stream, which we might have some information on coming up here in the near future.
Very, very soon.
There was the 9/11 mattress sale.
Oh, yes.
Now, yes.
These prices are falling.
Obviously inferring the three buildings that, one maybe exploded.
Well, we know now that technically it wasn't, according to Marcus with his, well, he did all of the temperature math.
Yeah,
he did all of that.
I remember he wanted to do 4 hours of temperature math on that episode, but we cut it down to 20 minutes.
We did.
Not too shabby.
Not too shabby.
But the deal was good. And I think that's what's the most important. It's like, if I'm in need of a new mattress or if I'm very hungry and I want a buffet oyster, I can look past a lot of stuff. We still eat at Jimmy John's, which the owner of Jimmy John's is a big game hunter.
But I stopped doing. I actually stepped away from Jimmy John's. Yeah. My belly doesn't know a lot of politics.
Right.
Right. Because definitely one thing I was a little bit outraged about that I couldn't believe. So in Pittsburgh, traveling on 9/11, hungover, right? Doing my duty, getting hammered in Pittsburgh, putting money back into the economy.
I was there.
On Sunday, went to the airport, right? Obviously filled with dread. It's 9/11. I don't want to be at the
airport.
You're
hungover, right? You're sweaty, but also you're cold.
And what do I And then what do I want, right? And unfortunately,
what
I know.
You want?
I get it, right? Chick-fil-A's bad. Or I don't know what they've done. I know that they've tried to roll back whatever, but still, it seems to be the commonplace thing that everybody talks about with Chick-fil-A.
Right.
When are you in the mood to eat Chick-fil-A? Sunday morning, right?
When
is that fucking stupid restaurant closed? Every day because they believe in their folklore over the reality of capitalism, right? They are willing to cut into their own profits because of their stupid beliefs, which I don't believe. I hate every second of it, right? Because it's being like, keep your evil doors open so I can eat this on a Sunday. But never mind.
It is kind of nice for the employees to have a day off. Though,
you're right.
Isn't that kind of
you're
nice?
Fucking right.
Isn't that kind of nice?
But then I figure of any day in the world that you chicken people with all of your fucking crooked little
chicken
actions,
rules.
You know, your little world over there, that on any day that you'd be open on a Sunday, it'd be 9/11 Sunday.
It would be 9/11 Sunday.
And guess what?
Yeah.
They'll stay at home while the rest of us were out there on the front lines.
Yes. I mean, you were more kind of sitting on a plane, kind of drinking Bloody Marys and complaining about, I would assume, some kind of issue.
No, with the toilet or with the food. No. I don't complain once I'm in the sky.
I don't either, because all it does is make everyone uncomfortable around you. I had a horrible person on my flight the other day. But anyway,
but yes,
that's for Grandpa Corner.
But yes, that is Grandpa Corner. But yes, I'm sorry. My belly has no politics.
All right. Well, let's talk about the spacecraft. War. What is it good for?
The economy.
Yeah. Yes. Raytheon. Yeah, I know that. Politics, sure. But it's also good if you're a UFO, if you're an unidentified flying object.
Well, and you could sneak right in.
Because it's a who knows what's going on.
Who knows?
Over at Kiev, this is kind of interesting. And I want to hear your thoughts, because I have heard in the past that UFOs do appear over traumatic situations happening on Earth.
Yes.
Perhaps to learn how we fight or just to see how primitive we still are.
Foo Fighters have been seen over World War II. People have seen objects. Actually, Afghanistan very famously has a lot of anomalous phenomena attached to being out in the middle of the desert, seeing weird lights, orbs, triangles, Sasquatch.
Absolutely. Foo Fighters, RIP, Taylor Hawkins.
It's very sad.
There was a benefit for him coming out.
It just came out. I couldn't make it through some of the songs. I don't feel emotions fully.
It's sad.
But I got very emotional.
It's also for us, you know, if I die or you die, they'll be like, well, they had a pretty bad diet. But for someone like that, it'd be like, he was a drummer. He's tight. He's handsome.
Yeah,
he
had heart problems. He had heart issues and shit. Like, and then he was pushing it. It's hard. It's hard on the road.
It is hard on the road. Well, this is going to the skies. Ukrainian astronomers, so you can trust them.
Because
if you look at the skies all day and you study stars, you do not lie. They claim UFOs are everywhere over Kiev.
We are seeing an unprecedented amount of sightings come out from the military. People have been talking about it's really hardcore, but it's also then interesting is that with this new wave, right, we got all of these machinations are on the move. You got a new UAP task force that it's going to now. They're officially going to be studying UFOs. But now that they're making all these real moves on it, now the Navy is saying that they're not going to show any more UFO videos. That if you see a UFO video that is, quote unquote, leaked from the government to them, number one, that's how they'll say that it's fake, because they'll say it's leaked and someone made this up. But also they're just saying now they're officially not going to okay any of them because they said it's going to harm national security.
Well, as we know, with the amount of money that's been given over to Ukraine for military goods, is it proving the point that they do not come from another planet? Perhaps they come right from Earth itself.
Well, we're going to see. I think there was a recent footage. It was one I saw. I forgot where if someone sent this to me, sidestorieslpotl@gmail.com. It was on the High Strangeness Reddit, because that's the only subreddit I'm in pretty much, than the UFOs one. And they all fight and shit.
Yeah, that must be kind of a trip.
Yeah.
That's like layers of nerd that I can't even begin to fathom.
Imagine anybody, a Reddit nerd, who's already like that type of, I mean, God knows what they're like, but then right. also a ufologist.
Whoa.
It's a lot.
It is a lot.
But that's where you get a good, you get good UFO news, right? Then you cycle it through. And that's where I find all my little yes. shows and I watch all my little programs and I watch.
They're single-handedly responsible for all purchase of corduroy.
Corduroy is an unforgiving material.
Oh, and you think ufologists like to be more forgiven on a regular basis?
Yes,
they like to be cozy. I mean, you know, my rules for 2022 has been ABC, always be cozy.
Yes, and I think and it Why was not? Working. But also, again, with the zeitgeist of fashion, that's also playing into it.
Sure.
Because everybody likes the baggy stuff. Look at Billie Eilish.
I love her.
She wears the big old shirts. Natalie's buying the big shirts. I'm used to wearing, she wears the tight ones. Now she's wearing the big ones.
Yeah, but, you know.
It's cool now. It's cool. Well, she wears like little panties.
Everyone, like these ladies that we hang out with, they work so hard on their bodies.
Whoa.
They say, tighten up a little bit.
No.
They work so hard. Like we are the baggy pants people. Do not culturally appropriate the big man size. The big man's shirt. We are the baggy people.
You're saying that this is appropriation.
And it's about time we address it.
Finally. And I'm glad we are today. But we're going to see what happens with Lexi. I think I was asking if there's footage of this. What I saw was a recent cylinder at the top of Reddit, and I can't find it again, was a really clear picture that they had posited for some videos, and it was really, but I really think that we're seeing the beginning of American technology looking like UFOs. That's what these next couple of phases are going to be. Okay, now that we've publicly acknowledged that there is shit slapping around in the skies. We don't know what the hell it is, right? Like, they're kind of leaning towards it's a natural phenomena, even though they did come out and straight say they believe that something's piloted like 2 weeks ago. It was when we were on break.
Right.
They came out with this saying, like, we think that some of this shit's piloted, which is wild.
But it is.
They're doing that, though, to start, again, hiding in plain sight. Because now all they could start putting up shit that looks like UFOs up in the sky.
Right.
And then we're like, oh, well, that's just a UFO. That's a UAP.
Well, it's possible I'm holding UFO technology right here with my smartphone in my hands. I thumb through it with my finger. So according to these individuals at the main astronomical observatory of Ukraine's National Academy of Science, it's long. So you know they're very smart.
Very smart. Very smart.
They say that we've seen them everywhere. We observe a significant number of objects whose nature is not clear.
It's everywhere. Also, I forgot. Ken Starr died.
Oh, fucking. Wow.
Ken Starr died.
Wow. And now, much like how Michael overshadowed
what
Vera Fawcett.
What will Jay Leno do?
Jay Leno, he's going to have the dancing Edos out to mourn. I'm so happy Ken Starr is dead.
I can't believe
that man
it.
Is a pervert.
Yes.
He's a horrible person. I can't wait for all of them to die.
Do you remember Linda Tripp?
I do.
This is just us going, you remember?
I do.
You remember 1997 on Kissel?
I was
13 years fun.
The sexy actors in the game that was the Clinton White House.
Ugh, just thinking about that. Hey, Monica. Like, just that type of, like,
yeah.
Arkansas
also,
sex.
Monica Lewinsky came out and she said, well, I have complicated feelings. You can just say, fuck him.
Yeah,
it's
fuck
a fucking
him.
Dickhead.
Yeah, fuck him.
He wrote
fuck
two articles of erotic fiction on the jizz that was on your dress.
Ugh.
That had nothing. Get Bin Laden.
Anyway. Too late.
So they also say that they are phantoms and cosmics.
Well,
over the skies of Kiev.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. Is that it's weird. There's something going on right now. I love this concept that we are one of the first of the conscious races in the species in the universe, and that maybe what we're seeing, the reason why we are, the entire universe isn't physically filled with life, is because we're one of the first. And that if you look at the actual time period of how long Earth has been around versus how old the universe is, and the fact that, you know, it might just be we're like one of the first bunch and that we're all spread all around. Maybe, and that's just an interdimensional flicker that we're seeing.
Well, and as one of the first, I can tell you one thing. The growing pains have been pretty brutal, but nonetheless.
Live from your grave.
A roast as dark as the night, perfect for fueling the cryptid research and mad ravings required for your podcasting. Don't mind the red eyes. He's just trying to warn you of the bridge.
The bridge.
Finally, from the caffeine-addled brains of Springheel Jack Coffee and Last Podcast on the Left, we bring you Mothman's Red Eye Blend. Yes, delicious Panama beans. Go to lastpodcastmerch.com to order yours today.
I want to talk about this thing. This is a AI. We're going to see more of this shit, right? Ghosts in the machine.
Ooh.
Right? As we get more involved with AI, obviously we try to understand it. We make simplified versions of it that are mostly just chat bots where they can, which we just came up with. We just came up against like that guy wearing the fedora. The yes, ma'am. Like literally was the nerd dude who said that he felt that the chatbot system had went sentient in the middle of
absolutely.
Google, right? But who knows? Again, it's just talking. So maybe like there's this debate. What is intelligence?
Well, it'll be up to us to decide if it's sentient or not. And just the way that the human brain works, I know people who think their cat is sentient. So I have a feeling that we will infer that power upon it. And we will say, this is...
Wendy understands every single thing that I tell her.
I don't think she does.
I know. Because she winks. Wendy winks.
She just randomly blinks. And you're like, that's a wink.
That's what I say.
You make it up. You make it up. Anyway.
But one thing that's going to come up, I think, a lot with AI is this, like, it's wiggles in the machine. It's ghosts in the machine.
Woo.
Shit that's going to be weird. Shit that's going to pop up and you're going to wonder, what the hell is this? What does it say about us? Right? Because if the AI is completely trained by human intelligence, right? Like if we dump it, like eventually it's going to reflect back something that we're like, oh, I didn't know. Like when we talk about why all of these things go racist, all of the chatbots go racist a lot of times, truly because I talk about this with Sina Ghaznavi.
They look at world history.
Sure, but also they are programmed by white people half the time, and then they have no frame of context. Like, it's this thing, right?
Well,
if
they were programmed by white people, they would apologize a lot more.
I don't know. It's only white people.
That's true.
But there's other shit. There's these images that are going to pop up that kind of have strength of their own. Now, they're talking about this thing called Loab, which was an AI-generated... It's a ghost. This thing that has popped up. So this...
Why'd they make it look so scary?
The computer did it. Super composite. It was this Twitter account that came out and said that they were playing around with this AI art program.
Yeah.
And what they did was that they wanted to do... There's a thing that they called negative prompt weights in AI art amalgamation,
get into the details of it.
Oh, God. But he's like, well, just think, these set up, basically, you could set it up where you're like, I want an image that is the exact opposite of this other thing. So
like
you put
that?
It's so scary. So he typed in Marlon Brando with a negative prompt weight, saying, I want the exact opposite of Marlon Brando. Right?
Okay.
Just fucking around with images. And it popped up as this weird logo, this thing that just had like a bunch of nonsense letters on it, and he didn't know why this was. He was like, okay, so if I now take this image and I'll take all the data that's within this and then do the complete opposite of that, I wonder if that will give me a picture of Marlon Brando.
Okay.
That would make sense. But instead, what it did was it created this picture of this very haunting woman.
Yes.
Now, this
haunting
woman...
But I mean, to be honest, kind of looks like Marlon Brando from that one film that we all love, The Island of Dr. Moreau.
Maybe.
With this strange-looking face.
Maybe. Let me look that up.
Because he's got all of that white makeup on.
Maybe you're right. Yeah,
that's
so
scary. So they took every image of Marlon Brando, and this is what AI created.
Well, it said the opposite of it.
Why
right?
Is she in a tub?
She's
in some
white.
Of them? Did they put her in these positions though, or was the AI like put her in a tub?
Well, he kept playing with it. So then once he put in the word, like, so when he
oh my god,
then
these
the
are
digital
haunting.
Thing popped up after doing the opposite of Brando. One other thing that popped up was this: her face popped up right when he did the opposite of this of the nonsense letters and things.
Yeah,
her face popped up and this word named Loab appeared behind her like it was the like an album cover. And so then he's like, all right, so I'm just gonna put Loab and play with Loab and see what else pops up. The thing is instead of like the other the way the other prompts reacted, where they made all this other like weird separate art,
right,
the Loab woman kept showing up and it kept degrading. And then if you look at this shit, it's awesome. Some of this
awesome.
Footage,
it's like absolutely horrifying.
They keep adding her to all of these image searches, and it just
creates these scenes of children being ripped apart by their hands and people crying blood. It's fucking awesome. It looks like the most evil mad god claymation shit on the face of the planet.
Well, what's so bizarre about all of that as well is, I don't know if you saw this story, it's adjacent to it, not nearly as creepy, but an AI-generated art piece won an award. And all of these human painters are like really upset.
Oh, yeah, I
because
bet.
Because it looks beautiful.
Yeah,
and they
of
just like totally nailed
no,
it.
No, it's a this is so a what, weird again, slope that we're going to get into where what, of like, what is art? It's you, if you stand behind a machine, if you know how to manipulate the AI program, then you become an artist because that's you playing with it. And I imagine most of the art, well, if you go to see AI generated art, you are there to see the combination of man and machine. That's kind of the point.
I would suppose so. But then again, also when it comes to sentient nature, one of the things is performers and comedians just so talented.
So talented. Irreplaceable.
We would often say, well, they ain't going to come for our jobs. But in reality, if you fed an AI bot every single episode that we've ever done, they could probably come up with a 50-minute episode that would sound fairly like it was us.
I've already seen that done. Well, I've had fans send me transcripts that they've used of us where it's like, yeah. Then you just realize just how often we say come.
Yeah.
Because then it really hits the cum hard. And you look at the AI stuff, you're like, okay, all right, AI. That's a lot of jizz jokes. But again, isn't that our oeuvre?
Isn't it?
But this
that's
is,
where all life comes from, isn't
I
it?
I just wonder why it got so dark. If you look at this one, this is my favorite one.
Oh,
yeah,
my
that's awesome.
God. She looks
that's fucking awesome.
Like a Toxic Avenger-like character.
Yeah, her face is melting, and she's got three little, like, babies made out of, like, meat and guts, like, on her shoulders and shit. This is fucking great. But, you know, if the AI makes more stuff like this, I'll find it interesting. I think it's interesting, but I also think it's interesting all these people maybe are going to try to run a Meta. We just got asked to do a Meta thing. Do you remember when we just basically just asked, well, you make a digital world, which
make
I know
a digital world.
It's good for people that have... Oh, what's the term? Inclusivity issues? Accessibility issues. Thank you, Fernando. I know it's good for that. But for the most part, what if more little fucking ghosts start working its way into those systems too? Like you do like a little Meta meetup group, which we're not going to do because it's scary. It's very scary for us. Yeah. But the idea of like these things like popping up and just going like, we don't know.
No, we don't know.
It's just going to do that? More often than not, sidestorieslpotl@gmail.com. You're some kind of computer genius? Tell us.
Tell us. All right. Well, let's move on to a story that is all too human. And I love this story. It's about a social media influencer. Now, influencer being a human, of course. Argentina. Did you hear this story?
I don't know.
So there was a vegan in Argentina who was a social media influencer, and they love the vegan lifestyle.
Believe me, man, when I go out there with my vegan friends and I see how they live their life with vegan golf and vegan pool, and they ride vegan horses, and the horses can't eat meat. And it's just incredible what's offered in the vegan lifestyle.
So this man, really, he was hanging on by a thread and we didn't know it.
What?
He was bit by a dog.
It happens.
So this is a vegan advocate who was bit by a dog. And then he immediately, I kind of love this, went to McDonald's and stopped being a vegan.
You see, it's just the dog. It's not like he went to eat dog meat.
He said, I stopped being a vegan because a dog bit me. So I got angry and said, I'm campaigning for the animals. And then one of them comes up and bites me.
What a weak bitch.
That's when I stopped being a vegan. So he thought that all these other animals would be like, thank you for being a vegan. But again, they don't care.
Dr. Doolittle is fiction. The animals don't know. They don't know that you post every day saying save the rabbits because they're the ones in the cages. They don't know. They can't think because they would have freed themselves if they could.
He's going to be torn apart by a series of beagles and he'd be like, but I was one of the good ones.
They don't care. They don't care.
She says, the truth is that I campaign for all that veganism, vegetarianism, all that. But a dog bit me on the street and I said, wow. I'm trying a lot for them, and one of their pack just comes up and bites me. So I went to McDonald's automatically. He was just looking for an excuse.
He was. But yeah, again, he was, yeah, anybody break me. That's so sad because, man, the dog is not like the UN representative of all animals.
Also, when I think about vegans getting bit by it, like we don't really, well, I don't know. Argentina doesn't have a dog food culture. No, we don't eat dogs. If he got bit by a cow,
if he got
it would make
by
more
a chicken.
Yeah. Pecked by a chicken, it might make a little bit more sense. But you haven't even really been fighting for the dog. Because dogs aren't really...
You know what I'm going to say? Know. And this is sad that this is where we're at in 2022. I'm just glad he didn't kill the fucking dog. And so if that's what you got to do, is that your, if that's your protest, if you got to go and eat a hamburger, that's fine. I know that, like, mostly it would just make me skittish around dogs if I got bit by a fucking dog.
Well, I also, if I mean, I get bit by a dog all the time. I think I actually had blood on my hands from Puffin recently because he hasn't been feeling well, so I had to pick him up and put him in a tub. I also am not like, I'm going to need a Big Mac. I don't feel that, I don't have the connection. I just don't have the connection.
So
this man, I think he was just he probably asked the dog to bite him.
Oh, yeah,
He
was waiting. He needed an excuse. If you go that, especially, you're going to break being vegan by going to McDonald's.
If you know, I'm that's how it people, works.
Like, but why though? Fucking
because
get a
when
big
you
steak.
Snap, when you snap, bro,
yeah,
it's quick.
Oh yeah,
I know people who stop being vegetarian after like 20 years, 10 years.
Yeah,
they just go and they get a bunch of chicken nuggets.
Well, Natalie would like, you know, she's a vegetarian for the most part, but mostly it's because she does not like the taste of meat, which actually makes sense. I feel like it's a way to stick to it. If it's political, every once in a while, you smell that rib.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, yeah, especially you down south. You're anywhere in Mississippi? You walking down, you saw Mississippi. We were driving through Biloxi, right? You driving there?
Sure.
You got that little shack over there, and he's the most succulent rib you ever had. And not only is it succulent, but it's also farm raised, and it's right around the corner. You can go right over there. And yeah, that pig, yeah, he might be dead now.
Oh.
But 2 days ago, he was tap dancing, having the time of his fucking life.
I do like pigs.
Eating thick ass corn. But at the same time, he was living a full and complete life, taught him to read.
Yeah.
And then next thing you know, he's got to shoot him in the back of the head and feed him. But yeah, but up until the moment he was food, he was living an incredible life. That's where you got to go. You let yourself in, because technically, God knows how much protein was even in the thing he ate.
Oh,
this is the time.
No, I mean, it's McDonald's. There's some protein in there.
Yeah, they got meat slurry.
Yeah, they got their meat little slurry there. Although they haven't brought back the Shamrock Shake, and I think we need to have a question and answer session with the head of McDonald's. Whatever sort of, I don't know, what would he be, Irish?
What?
McDonald's.
He would be Irish. Or Scottish. He'd be Scottish.
Speaking of human beings, this story is a bit of a, it's kind of a combo of all.
This is fucked up. Yeah, this story is really fucked up, and it is just another example. So last summer, I believe, we covered the story of a man killing his two children because of a MAGA conspiracy theory,
right?
Another QAnon conspiracy theory. They worked through his whole brain, saying that they had reptile blood in them, and he killed them both with a spear gun, like you'd use for fishing. And then he went to Mexico. Now we know that his wife was involved. So that's just one story.
It's not good. Also, they keep on saying Q rabbit hole, but I think we need to leave these rabbit alone.
Oh, yeah, I mean, honestly, it's not that fucking, like, they keep saying like you have to go look for it.
No, it's everywhere.
It's on the surface. It's Q on, so you could just go and look at it.
Yeah, it's
like
everywhere.
You don't have to go search
There's
for it.
There's a bumper sticker.
Yes. So this guy went and he killed his whole fucking family thanks to another QAnon conspiracy theory, believing that they were all either shapeshifters or they were part of some deep plan because, you know, the way we found out about it, which is kind of fucked up, the surviving daughter, basically, the moment it happened, put up a Reddit post saying, "My father just killed our whole family."
Jesus.
And immediately, because it was in this Reddit subreddit that is all about, it's called QAnon Casualties, where people go and talk about the family that they've lost to this.
So this is not
idea virus.
It's not positive. It's more like Q's bad.
It's very bad.
Okay.
Yes. It's very, very bad.
This guy's name is Igor Lannis. He was 53. He was killed. He was killed by cops because he started shooting at them too.
He did, yeah.
Oh,
well,
Lord.
Well, this is the problem. So they love being shot at by the cops because then it means they think that it's correct. They've created a world where their conspiracy theories become so concrete that they have then decided to make it concrete. The way serial killers do it, we talk about a lot on last podcast about how they set up the circumstances in a way where they make it so it's inevitable, quote unquote, that they were going to start murdering, where I feel it was the same way, where they say, which seems to be very indicative, is that as soon as he lost, as soon as when the 2020 election happened, he just went into a deep downward spiral. I have, I have some members of our family that are very similar.
Ever imagine loving a president so much where you actively get that depressed that they lost?
The idea that I would shed a tear when Grandpa Joe dies is the saddest thing ever. Like, just the concept of caring about a president, I don't understand. It's so past me that I don't get it. But this is something else. This is them looking for an excuse to pop off. I think that what we're, and I'll, people call QAnon a cult. I think it's got shades of a cult. I also believe that it's some form of, it's a mind virus. We don't really cover it.
Bit of a psyop in its own right.
But we don't really cover very often. Mostly it's
too
just,
real. That's
just,
the problem.
It's intense.
Conspiracy's been ruined. We were talking about this on this week's Sirius show. Back in 2013, it was a Motherboard, Wired, had a whole article about reptilians, but like tongue-in-cheek.
You'd be like, Barack Obama's not a reptilian.
It all became real. And PolitiFact has all of these different things where it's like, Queen's not a real lizard. But as I talked about, if someone does unzip and become a lizard, I think it would take us a week before they're like, the lizards are in charge now.
I mean, we would just roll with it.
Just roll with
it. I mean, there's just nothing to do. Because no. You just watch this. It's just strange because, again, I feel, let's put it this way. Would he have probably killed his family anyway? Yeah. I bet
I don't
yes.
know.
I think
Maybe.
So. I think a lot of these guys are just looking for, it's like why actors go to Scientology. Because they did back in the day, was because it was fun. To put on a uniform and you pretend you're in Starfleet. You get to go and believe you're worshiping an alien. It's the funnest thing in the world if you're a nerd.
Sounds fun, I guess so.
You get to just give it all up to this fantasy. And I think it's the same thing where you look at a whole plot line that you can then insert yourself and be a part of. They do it because it gives them, what have we seen? A lot of coverage. Our friends over at The Good Liars. I watch Channel
Jason
5 all the time.
Yeah.
And you see it all the time. It's really just way more about their they have community.
Well, according to this dude's daughter, Igor Lannis, that's the man that committed the murders and was then shot. He was a car designer with no history of violence.
No.
She says the family was extremely loving, but then the dad changed after Trump lost in 2020. So I don't know.
Out.
Maybe it was just the thing that got him, and in some sad ways, he's a victim of all this disgusting bullshit, too. But, of course, he made his own decisions.
No, then as soon as you make your own decisions, then it's over. As soon as you kill your family, it's really difficult to get a lot of sympathy.
And she was just at a birthday party, so then she came home, and she's like, what happened?
No,
hey,
it's very scary.
And then,
very, very
scary. The entire family's dead.
That's why just let it go. Just let it go.
Fly from your grave.
Hey, what's up, everyone? How you doing? Ben Kissel here with Henry Zebrowski.
Yeah, it's me, man.
Yeah, bro. Henry Zebrowski is smoking some of that sweet last podcast on the left, babe. So go out there and purchase yourself some. I hope you enjoy it. We have sativa, we have indica, and we have a hybrid. And I have to tell you, from my personal experience, they are wonderful.
Super tasty live resin. You really get the delicious, weedy taste, which is what I like. And three different experiences. You go to your local vape store and get it.
Absolutely. Thank you all so much for supporting the show. We absolutely love you. Can't wait to see you on the road and get that vape, put it in your brain, and have a good time.
And if you want us at your favorite weed store, give them a call and ask for them by name.
Absolutely.
Last podcast on the left, it's weed.
Hail yourselves, everyone.
Hail Satan.
Well, speaking of Motherboard, do you see this Bigfoot thing here?
Oh, yeah. I wanted to talk about this. So what I love, again, cryptids are all over the world.
Sure.
And we cover them but a lot of times we cover from the American perspective because that's the work that we got on. But what's really fun is that there is other like realms of cryptid research that is just sort of coming to light because of shit like fucking it's hidden in the Soviet Union or the former Soviet Union. It's hidden in Russia. And so this guy who was a naturalist and writer, a polymath, as they called him, Boris Borshnev.
Oh,
right. Here's him with he's got a bunch of rabbit tails on him. He's got some kind of sash
on. He's a cool guy.
He's a cool guy. Yeah. But he did a series of writings about the Russian version of Sasquatch in the early 20th century that went hidden because I find it interesting because it's the same kind of weird attack on how valid are you of a scientist if you're into all of this weird tech, like into all these weird stories that we suffered from in the United States as well.
It could be a little mark on your name, but not like the blue check mark. It's more like, yes, he really did come up with the theory of relativity, but he also believes in gnomes.
It's hard, right? It's hard. Where this guy was a neurologist and a neurolinguist who believed this. Very funny. But he believed in some kind of.
I can eat pussy in 10 different languages. All right.
Okay. All right. But he actually, he believed that language promoted evolution. That was like his thing.
Okay.
Which I do find interesting. If you look at someone like Noam Chomsky.
Please.
He talks about how language can be used in many
Gnome
ways.
Is further evidence. Everyone needs to stop talking after 60.
Gnome,
including us.
Chomsky.
I've 19 more years of speaking after 60.
I can't wait to not have a valid opinion anymore.
Shut up.
As soon as I'm 60, I'm just it don't matter.
You cannot have a valid opinion. It's not possible.
You know, when you ask me, you know what, Mike, what we know about? How to keep a sustainable marriage. Right? If you're 60 and you're still married, then you can do that. If you need the local eats, that's
local
me.
Eats. Local Boom. Eats. And also, coffee-related conversations.
Oh, absolutely. But once I'm also in my 60s, that's when I'm going to be fully in my right-hand path magic world. And then,
but you're still going to have a lot to say about traffic. You can comment on traffic.
Absolutely. Yes. I can talk about you are illegally, that's when you're given the word snowbird.
Yes.
About people coming in and parking in the spot that you're used to parking into because all of these people are showing up in the place that used to be a vacation home, but now it's your main home because you've lost a bunch of series of income.
I just don't want you, I don't want to hear your thoughts on what LeBron James thinks politically.
No, I don't want that's you. What no, I, like, absolutely not. No,
you talk about traffic, you talk about coffee, you talk about lunch, you talk about other things that only affect the elderly, like sandals that aren't quite good quality.
Yeah, absolutely. And now, and the Sasquatch. And Porshnev, he went out there and he wrote this whole book. Again, he was completely vilified by the scientific community because they thought that he was a moron. And he believed that he was looking for a proof of a thing called the relict hominid, what he thought were extinction leftovers that survived against all odds out in the middle of the Caucasus Mountains.
Oh, you can also get that. It was also one of the 9/11 dishes there that they had at the Virginia Club.
Yes, yes. But he said he had a lot of these ideas. I do like the idea of language affecting evolution.
Absolutely,
I think that's very interesting.
Of course.
But he went out with, he got an approval from the Soviet Academy of Sciences to go out, and he said that he was going to find these wild men. Right. And that's what we say. There's wild men out in the hills, right? Ooh. Out in the deep in Siberia. Right.
The hills
have
eyes.
And there was a type of character they were looking for, which was the Yeti over there that they called the Almasti, which is this type of wild man character.
OK.
But they finally found this manuscript had went fucking missing for decades.
Mm-hmm.
And they finally found it. And they said what they found was very interesting. Now, one of the things that they came across was stories, things that they had found over these years. One was the stories of a shaggy-headed, fur-covered creature with long breasts prowling the Pamir Mountains, right? And wild men in Kazakhstan. That long ago, they walked on two legs like humans, but they had feet twice the size. They had paddles, right? These are people talking about the wild men of the past, right?
All right.
And then they're also saying that they would go in the caves and that they would find them sitting. This is one of those details that I thought was very cute. They said that they would find the favorite mounds of these creatures, and they would sit in these mounds.
Poopy?
No, not poopies. Well, no, it was just dirt mounds.
Like chairs for them.
Yes, they would put together mounds. They would dig up mounds of dirt, and then they would sit in it, and the way they could tell is that they would go, and they'd see these big butt imprints. And that's how they knew that there was, it could be a bear, obviously, but that's how they said they knew that it was a fucking, because they're like, oh, that's a monkey butt. All right there. But they think that straight up that the 1917 Russian Revolution brought an end to the wild man.
As in, and it was just murdered.
And everyone got massacred. Murdered. And they ran to the hills. Because it's very interesting because it has such a thick, like, past of belief in the Yeti. Because Yeti really only came about, like, we started getting knowing and hearing about the Yeti once the route to Mount Everest were open and the Sherpas started talking about it, which I thought was very interesting, is that we did not know that any of that shit was real for a long time, and then it wasn't until we started going up there, because I guess they also used the Yeti as a way to be like, don't go up to that ridge. There's a wild man up there, Yeti, he'll go up there and he'll sniff your bottom.
I think that's the tale of many cryptids, warnings for the young youth to not go neck in dangerous areas. Also, cute enough for this little Yeti character, they say that it made a noise like,
but we know what the Yeti actually sounds like.
Do we know that?
Yes.
I like that. All right, let's do Hero of the Week. This week's hero is an actual person. So, Jamil Jan Kochai. They tried for years to reconnect with their second grade teacher. Now, this was a woman who taught this person how to read. So, isn't that exciting?
Right.
So, her name is not bad. Mrs. Lung was her name. And she taught this guy how to read, and then he went on to write a bunch of books. And so so there you go. And then they got a picture together.
Wow, this is incredible. What an incredible segment. What an incredible hero.
Absolutely. So this is according to Jamil Jen Koshai. They say, let me tell you a story. This is Susan Lung. She taught me to read and write in a single year when I was 7 years old. I've been looking for Susan, hoping to thank her in person for almost 20 years.
That's very sweet.
And then she surprised me at a reading last night. So there you go, Susan.
While she was
Lung.
Reading in bed? That would be scary. If you're a reading teacher you hadn't seen for years and you're reading alone at night before you go to sleep, and then your reading teacher appears at the foot of the bed being like, can I get a thank you?
Well, either way, he really.
Why don't you come over here and read my fucking asshole? Oh, I see you're asleep.
It's more of a nice story there.
Wake up.
You can see her there. You can see her there with the class. And so
why are all the kids.
Well, because they just wanted to show the one kid who learned how to read.
I will say it is nice. I do understand. Don't show your kids on social media. Obviously, it's really sad. But it does not creep you out when they have to blank out their kids' faces. I think it's good to do.
You have to do it.
But still, it makes it look like they're dead. Right? When they blank out their faces, it looks like they all died in a horrific accident.
Well, this was a picture taken 20 years ago, so like, we can assume at least
adults now.
One or two of them are probably dead.
But it's so weird when they black them all out and something you say, and you just like, it looks like ex-kids.
Yeah. Well, if I would ever have a child, I'd make them real scary looking with all the filters and stuff.
That would be cool. You always put little masks on them.
Yeah.
That would be cool, but fun masks, not the sad masks. You put something like, you know, some kind of Mysterio head on them, like a little gold, like a green goblin mask.
So Susan Lung, your hero of the week for teaching this guy how to read, and then he wrote a bunch of books.
Really good.
Isn't that cool?
Honestly, it is cool. That's really nice.
Isn't that nice?
Now it's time for some listener emails. Fantastic. We got a really good couple of updates. Number one, someone actually said about a little bit of insight on the Sandersons, right? The two guys that went on that killing spree. What we found out was that one of the brothers up in Canada, that they stabbed, I believe it was 11 people in a spree of murders.
It was like 19 and they killed 10.
It was very scary. It was very scary. But we found a little bit is that Damian Sanderson, because we know that one of the brothers died from stab wounds that they believe was inflicted by the other. And the other one was then picked up 2 days later. And then immediately died in
heart attack or something.
They said some kind of medical issue. Died in custody. Again, don't know. They're Canadian cops, so I think most of the time they're out getting coffee. I don't think they have the time to kneel on a neck.
Right? I know.
And so here we go. Damian Sanderson was an explosively violent person. Henry mentioned meth possibly being involved, but Damian didn't need it. For what I've heard, because this is anonymous, someone put an anonymous source that is close to the case, but we can't name them, right?
All right.
But from what I've heard.
No, my name is anonymous.
Yes.
It was a horrible name my parents gave me. It's been very aggravating ever since.
I get a lot of tickets.
Yes.
For what I heard is apparently Miles also did not meth to be aggressive. A lot of our indigenous offenders struggle with alcohol and drug addiction stemming from traumatic childhoods. Some offenders can be perfectly polite and cooperative in court, to the point where it's hard to believe that they are capable of the things described in their files. So not so with Damian Sanderson. Damian emanated hatred, like he was a ball of anger just waiting for a trigger to make him explode.
Okay.
Right? Which that sounds like it, right? And then Miles Sanderson had a long-standing and well-documented grievance with the Burns family at the James Smith Cree Nation. So a lot of the people that were attacked were people that they knew personally. They do believe that they had known them. And it's very scary.
Scary.
A lot of times we remember, you know who's going to kill you?
Who?
The person you know. It's very rarely a stranger. It's mostly your friends and family that murder you. So you be on lookout because I'm coming for you, Kissel.
Well.
I want you to feel the tension. I don't really mean that. That's just entertainment. It's entertainment for the show. But Kissel, I want you to know I will always keep you safe.
Thank you.
But otherwise, to keep the tension of the show up, I will kill you.
Absolutely. And I'm a willing participant in all forms of death. When it comes to grievances.
Yes.
It's weird that people have them for so long because I forget. I actively forget who I hate. I was trying to think the other day because, you know, I like to fall asleep thinking about murder.
Yeah.
But I was like, five people I want to kill. And I know I hate more than five people. I know I do. But I can't remember. I'm busy.
I'm proud of you. That's really good because, in a way, what all of the years of tincture did was help you become a more forgiving person.
I'm more forgetful.
That's the best part.
I don't know if I'm forgiven. Like, if I'm reminded again, I'd be like, no, I fucking hate you, but I just don't remember.
I literally just had this happen where I showed up and we was like, me and a buddy, we were both like,
why were we mad at each other again? And it just went, we couldn't even remember. No. And that's what's important to remember, is that your grudges go away. And you really should call that buddy that you actually did like, unless they're toxic, you didn't really like them.
It can go either way.
It can. You find out later on. Once you re-up, you find out if it's bad or not.
I don't know.
Also, I got a nurse's POV from the dude jumping out of the plane.
Oh, yeah.
She said the key of this that it triggered her, because we didn't know why. Why would he jump out of a plane while it was landing? Because he was embarrassed? Is he fucked up? Is he having a panic attack?
Bad fart.
She's saying that the key phrase that she's hearing is when he said, I need some air.
Yeah.
She said confusion. This kind of that idea, this kind of counterintuitive thing that she's seen it many times, where people have ripped oxygen lines out of their nose saying, I need some air. It is because they are having some form of respiratory attack.
Is it on par? I suppose this is more for the person that wrote in, so she can't respond. But it reminds me of when you have hyperthermia and you take all your clothes off.
Yes.
It's like, that doesn't make sense. You're just like, I better do this.
He was probably, literally might have been having a fucking heart attack.
He got
while he was landing the plane, and then he committed suicide.
To his credit, he got all the air.
He did.
He did get all
very,
of the
very
air.
Scared. And also, one more correction: birds don't have corkscrew penises. They all have cloacas, and they just rub their holes together.
There you go. Fantastic. Now the duck does, though.
Yes.
Okay. Now
I just want to do a quick trip through one of the biggest takeaways that I got from last week's series of emails.
Okay.
Was how many people have experienced time slips?
I got a couple of DMs myself.
It's really weird. I am going to, I think I'm going to go to Liverpool when we go to the UK.
Just like John Lennon.
Yes. I'm going to go to Liverpool so I can maybe try to experience it for myself. I'm going to see what it is.
You can't go like that, Henry.
Why?
Because you want it too much.
Well, then I'll just forget. I'll just get hammered.
Yes, get hammered.
That's what I'll do. Is I go there, I'll get hammered, makes me a time traveler.
Why am I here again? And then you'll see hey, pork pies. What a pork pie.
Yeah,
it's the newest of all the pies.
I hope so.
Oh, shoot.
But no, it's wild, right? Years ago, just a little, I mean it. 25 emails about time slips. Wanted to share my story with you guys. When I was a teenager, I decided to ride my bike to one of my best friend's house, which is about a 14-mile one-way ride. Oh. Granted, I was a fat little shit, but once I made it and knocked on his door, I was only greeted by his 6-year-old self. I found this odd, as he was only a child. Once I asked if my friend was home, his eyes lit up with fear and he shoved the door in my face. I gave him a call and then he opened back up and it was him.
That's
fucking weird, right?
Yeah.
This is another one. I didn't experience a time slip, but my mother's friend in England did. She was driving in the north of England on a vacation in the 1960s. Suddenly, a fog blanketed the area. When it lifted, my mom's friend saw a Roman legion crossing a few yards away from them, decked out fully in weapons, armor, and banners. Could be LARPers, but this is 1960s. I don't know. Could be a movie set. I don't know. This lasted a few minutes before the fog came back, and then they were magically returned to the 1960s. And here's another one. While standing on the outside patio of my bar, my hearing went dull, and I heard a high-pitched hum like when your ears adjust themselves. I then saw a man and a woman walking arm in arm down the sidewalk slowly, dressed in 1920s clothing. They weren't talking, but both were smiling softly and looking straight ahead. Now, at first, I thought maybe they were going to a costume party, but as I watched them walk, the way they held themselves didn't look like any young person I've ever seen. It also wasn't near Halloween, and their clothes didn't look costumey at all. When my hearing returned, I looked around to the people I was with and asked anyone else if they saw the couple. No one had seen them, even though they had passed 10 feet from where we were standing.
Oh.
This shit's really interesting. I got a lot of it. It's a lot of it's from Liverpool. Well, it's just wild.
We'll be in Europe very soon.
There's so many more of these. I just find them very fascinating. Like, I wonder what that is.
We just don't know, do we?
I think it's interesting.
It is interesting.
And I got an email from a physicist basically saying the same thing. The idea that time is not linear. But what does that mean?
All right, everyone. Thank you all so much for listening to
silence.
This episode.
Sit in silence. We'll sit in silence for 45 minutes.
We have to. What does it mean?
What does it mean?
It means we have to
slip on into the future. All right? You got to love.
Yeah.
Knowing for a fact, this ain't time. Ain't time, all right?
Okay.
When your boss comes up to you and be like, hey, Gerald, do you know what time it is today? You can laugh at them and be like, is it 1964 or is it 2079? I don't fucking know. Am I a robot? Are you a robot? Fuck you, bro.
Okay, might be unemployed.
Hey, man,
okay.
Whatever, dude.
Who cares?
Right? Because you can live knowing you're untethered.
I agree.
Untethered in time. Be what you want to be. Put a top hat on. Tell people you're from the 1920s. Be the time slip for somebody else.
I agree with
that. I think that's fun, too. Mm-hmm. Go out there, dress in full period costume, show up at somebody's birthday party and be like, my God, look, and I see what's happened here. Are there aliens?
Absolutely. Wow. Why is that man covered in blood? You get the joke.
Yep.
All right, everyone. Well, thank you all so much for listening. Hail yourselves.
Hail Satan.
Magustilations.
We did it again.
Nailed it.
One more episode done.
This show is made possible by listeners like you. Thanks to our ad sponsors, you can support our shows by supporting them. For more shows like the one you just listened to, go to lastpodcastnetwork.com.